The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and thanking you once again for your support of this podcast. Now, we are in April, about the first weekend in April when this this episode was recorded. And actually have the pleasure to talk into to one of the up-and-coming rising stars from the nation of Ukraine. Got to see him a little bit with his training last summer in Italy, and also saw him compete in the Junior Worlds, and now represent the University of Louisiana at Monroe on their Warhawk ski team. It's Demir Flaritov. How you doing, sir?
Hello, Tony. I'm good, thank you.
Okie dokie.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. The last name, is that pronounced correctly, or?
Filaritov.
Filaritov.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
I get a little bit tongue-tied a little bit with that name, and I just have to slow down a little bit to make sure that I get all the right syllables and all the right places, okay? And so we're here at Bennett's Water Ski School outside Zachary, Louisiana, and you have an opportunity to train here during a spring break. How's that getting coming along? Actually, Easter break, I would say.
So I decided to come here we have spring break here. So I decided to ski 1 week, so why not?
Okay. Last time I saw you was actually on the podium steps of the Junior World Championships, which took place in this past January in Santiago de Chile. But it didn't all go to plan, did it, so far as that competition goes? I mean, you took a pretty nasty spill. Those of you that watched the broadcast on TWBC will vividly remember that on the very last day of competition. So how have you been since then?
Oh, it was a difficult event for me. Now I feel pretty well. I got injured. I had some problems with my ribs for 2 months. It still hurts sometimes, but now I'm recovered and I'm fine. I'm continuing to skiing.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you took a pretty nasty fall, took a shot to the ribs. Any other injuries that occurred?
No, doctor told me like nothing, but I don't know, like for 2 months it hurt. So I believe something was with my ribs, but I don't actually know.
Now, the whole getting to a hospital or to a medical facility was a bit of an adventure, because the first medical facility you went to couldn't admit you, right?
Yeah, I don't remember everything, because I got in my mind only after, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes after my crash. So yeah, I think in first hospital, they couldn't find my insurance, so they didn't allow me to with them, so we came to another hospital.
Okay, and after that, the treatment was administered pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, it was fine.
Okay, so with that taken care of, you ascended the podium steps not too long afterwards. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that you're from Ukraine and obviously you had to work extremely hard just to be able to ski in this event. I mean, what did that feel like with the people up on your feet giving you a standing ovation?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly one of the more vivid memories that I had of the Junior World Championships, and have actually announced a fair few of them. So, with that kind of in the rearview mirror, we're preparing for the season to come. What's essentially your first major tournament? I think you've done one collegiate tournament so far. How did that go?
Yeah, it was 1 week ago. It was just like fun tournament, first tournament. So I prepared only 3 days before. So it was just for little practice.
Okay. And so what's your major? What's your first major tournament? I mean, is there going to be like a Masters qualifier or anything? Because I know you skied in the Junior Worlds,
yeah.
And I think because you skied in the Junior Worlds, you may be eligible age wise to compete in the Junior Masters. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would really like to go to Masters, but unfortunately, I think I won't go. Because it's really difficult for me to go alone there and pretty expensive. And I need to train a lot before, but I have ending of my semester, so I need to study. So I won't be able to ski a lot, so no masters, I think so.
Okay, so kind of give us a little bit of an idea of what it's been like for you to train and to ski on ULM's campus, and then because I mean you're a freshman last fall, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so freshman last fall you would have competed in the collegiate nationals in Texas. So how did that go for you?
It was so cool. It's a really cool competition, nationals. A lot of people, a lot of new people. Like more fun events than Worlds or Europeans. You feel more calm, maybe.
Uh-huh.
So I really like this event.
Okay, so certainly a little bit easier for you to deal with, not as much pressure. But now we're heading into the summer. You're probably eyeing up the U21 Worlds, aren't you? Coming up in June, is that one of the tournaments on your target list, so to speak?
Not really, because it's taking part in Mexico, right?
Yeah, it's Mexico. In Mexico, in Chapala.
Yeah, so it's also so far, and I'm only one person under 21 in my team. So I won't be able to go.
Okay.
I think I'll have one more under 21 world like in 3 years. So that one I'll probably compete.
Okay. So, obviously it's hard to ignore the fact that you are from Ukraine. And you've been on their national team set up for how many years now have you been involved on the Ukrainian national team?
9 years.
9 years now.
Yes.
So essentially from the time that you started skiing, you've almost been part of that setup. I mean, that's actually a question itself. How did you actually get involved with tournament skiing? Because a lot of people, and especially in the Western part of the world, you know, do it for fun, do it to recreationally behind a boat, you know, with a group of friends or what have you, and then they find out that they got a little bit of talent, so they seek guidance from elsewhere and keep going. But it's in a lot of other countries that are in, I would say, Eastern Europe, the way that a lot of people get involved in the sport is completely different, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of tell us the path that you were on.
Okay, like our club, we have really good conditions. We have really good coaches. And even when you just go to the sport just for fun, eventually you will probably become a good skier, professional skier. So that was with me. So I skied for 1 year just like a sport. And then I realized that it's really cool sport and I have good opportunities in the future. I had really good coach. So I became a professional skier.
Okay. So, I mean, and you ski over at the Sentosa facility, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
In Dnipro. So right off the Dnipro River. And... But during the winter, you ski, you train in the swimming pool, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how is that different so far as techniques that are used to to teach yourself a new tricks every so often?
Yeah, in swimming pool we do only tricks, not all tricks, like no flips, some ski lines, some toes tricks. It's not really effective way to ski, but it's better than nothing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So we ski just to remember how to stay on the uh-huh. water. So, but we used to go to Jack Travers water ski school.
Uh-huh.
So in winter, so that's the best training that we have during this period.
Yeah. There's definitely no real substitute for being in great weather and having the great setup in a lake in Florida or something like mm-hmm. that. But obviously, Ukraine is a world away, and unfortunately, right now, Ukraine is involved in a pretty heated conflict with Russia right now. Mm-hmm. So, and it's been a little over a year since Russia actually invaded Ukraine. When that day happened, what was going on with you at that time? And because I mean, where were you?
Oh, I didn't believe the war would start. I didn't believe. And one day at 4 a.m., my mom woke me up with words, "Demir, wake up, war started." I was like shocked. I didn't believe in this, but then I saw news. And we came with my mom to grocery shop, to pharmacy, to buy some products, some pills. And there was a lot of people. Like, I don't know, we waited in grocery store for maybe 2 hours to buy some food because everyone, it was panic.
Yeah, panic buying.
Yeah, of course. There was a lot of people. And everyone wanted to buy something because there would be lack of some products.
Yeah.
So it was scary first few days.
Yeah, and I mean, from the sounds of it, I mean, it sounds like your mum probably had a pretty sneaking suspicion that Russia would eventually.
Yeah,
invade, especially considering the annexation of Crimea and those territory over in the Donetsk and in the Donbass region, mm-hmm. you know, that had already been occupied by yes. Russia, you know. So, I mean, skiing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, must have immediately took a back burner, you know.
Of course.
So obviously, I mean, you had to get emergency supplies and everything like that. But as the war kind of continued on, I'm sure that thoughts of you competing and getting ready for tournaments and stuff like that must have crept in. I mean, how long did it take for you to realize that this fight, this conflict, wasn't going to be over and just like that?
I think maybe 2-3 weeks. We waited in Ukraine. We just watched what was going on, and then we decided to move to Poland because we just didn't know what to expect from this war. Everyone was scared, so we decided to leave country. And in Poland, like maybe after 1 month, I realized that I have continued skiing, that I have opportunity to ski in Italy, Ricetto. So maybe, yes, maybe 2 months, I need to realize that war continuing and I have to continue skiing.
Okay. So how did that process play out? I mean, you're in Poland and wanting to ski. So you reached out. So you reached out to the Italian Water Ski Federation where its headquarters. Their national training site is Ricetto.
Yes.
So how did they respond?
We have one guy, Misha Mikhailichenko, 13 years old, from Dnipro, and he came there like in April to ski there. So I heard from him that he ski in Ricetto. So I decided to write to director of. This ski club, Ricetto Ski Club, and they allowed me to ski, and big thanks to them.
Okay, indeed. Yeah, I mean, you've got, I mean, like Dario and
Dario
and Candido Mars,
yes,
and everyone there are part of that setup, you know. So I mean, they basically open their doors to you to be able to ski and to compete and that kind of stuff. So I mean, that must have taken a lot of weight off your mind with the tournaments that were coming up soon afterwards.
Yes. I want to say big thanks to Italian Federation, to Dario. It was, they gave me opportunity to ski, because in Ukraine it wasn't able to ski. So probably I won't be able to compete. So, yes.
Okay, so after that, I mean, there were a number of tournaments. You skied in the Europeans, didn't you?
Under 17, you mean?
Yeah, the under 17
in Greece. Yes,
in Greece. And how did that turn out? Did that turn out okay for you?
Yeah, it was the best tournament I've ever had. I got four golds out of four.
There you go.
Yeah, and it was really cool competition. I really liked it.
Okay, and what about you? You did you ski in the U21s as well, or
no.
That was in Austria?
It was in Austria, and it was like in September. But I had to go to ULM. My semester started, so I decided to go to ULM to Monroe.
And that precluded you, obviously, from being in the elite Europeans. But now you're probably thinking that the elite Europeans this season is going to be in Italy. It's going to be in San Gervasio towards the end of July. So you're looking forward maybe to competing there?
Yeah, I'll probably compete in Open Europeans in San Gervasio, yes.
Along with Misha and Daniello, possibly?
Yes, I think so.
So it would appear that Ukraine would actually have a pretty good team coming up.
Yes, I hope.
Well, we certainly wish Ukraine the very best of luck there. So, speaking about ULM, what studies do you have there right now? I mean, you've probably just gone through your freshman year, and you're probably still trying to decide where you want to go major wise. But do you actually have a major, or do you have like an end goal in mind?
I'm a computer science major.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm studying computer, like programming, and that's what I like. That's all. That's the major I always wanted to study.
Okay, and so what's like? What has life been on like on campus? You know, because obviously there's a curiosity factor with you being from Ukraine, and a lot of students that go to somewhere like ULM probably hardly ever set eyes on anyone from Europe, much less anyone from Ukraine. So when you have like initial greetings with people, you know, and you tell them you're from Ukraine, what has been the general reaction?
I think it's like usual reaction. Some people just ask like, what is the situation in Ukraine? How is my family? Something like that. But it's not like something unusual.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was already one person on campus from Ukraine, right?
Two girls.
Two girls.
Yeah, Stasia Prosvetova and Sonia Maksimenkova.
Okay, so I mean, coming into that situation with two people already from your home country, I mean, did their support kind of help you get settled into life in the United States?
Yeah, of course. It was one of the reasons why I came to University of Louisiana in Monroe. So I have there two people that I really, really know. So I knew that they can help me. That they can support me. So that was the reason. That's one of the reasons why I decided to go to ULM.
Okay, so they informed you that there was a place at ULM if you wanted to go, rather than you made the initial contact.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were definitely scouted. I mean, a Ukrainian in the United States, in the northern part of Louisiana, probably, you know, That's an unusual situation in itself. What has been some of the best things about living in the United States, especially being a college student?
The best thing I like in my university is education. It's education system that United States has. I really like it. It's really interesting. About living, Like Monroe is not a really big city. It's not a lot of big. It's not a lot of places for entertainment. So I cannot say that it's so interesting. But
well, you've got Netflix,
of course. But Netflix, I can see you whenever in the world. So yeah, the best thing I like is education. I really like it.
Okay, and just like just life in general, because I mean, to be plucked up out of Ukraine, war-torn Ukraine. I mean, it's the war is still going on over a year since it started. You know, so from Ukraine into the United States. I mean, obviously the education, but I mean, is there anything that kind of like jumps out at you and like says, you know, I didn't know this about America. And I was shocked to find out that this is what happens over here.
You mean about education or just in our world?
Just life in general.
I've been in United States like 15 times before, so.
But that was Florida, though.
That was Florida. Yeah. So I don't remember what reaction I had when I came to US first time. I was only 10 years old, but I remember that I was surprised. So now it's like usual country for me. I get used to USA.
You're probably thinking about maybe visiting the theme parks in between sets, you know, when at the age of 10, knowing where Disney World and SeaWorld are in Florida.
Yeah.
Now obviously for all the good, there's some bad things associated with the United States living here. Of course, I mean, I've been living there for 25 years. It's not all roses, but kind of what stands out for you being in the United States, you know, kind of like some of the negative things, you know, about America.
Let me think.
Yeah, I can tell you're an optimist.
Mm-hmm. I think I didn't still realize I feel that something is not as I want, but
could it be the food? Is it too much gluten, too much pizza, or too much carbs, and being a small town as
Monroe? I think it's one of the reasons. Yes.
I don't want to think that I led you to that answer or anything like that.
I think, I just think about it right now, and that's one negative moment of USA.
Okay, so what kind of thing do you wish that they served in Monroe that they serve in Ukraine? I mean, I don't know too much about Ukrainian cuisine, but is there something you kind of wish, man, I wish I had some of that around
about now? Yes, I want Ukrainian kitchen everywhere. It's the best one. Yes.
Okay, what kind of food are we talking about from Ukraine? What is like the quintessential Ukrainian thing to eat, you know, the go-to?
It's borscht. Borscht, it's a special soup from Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. What is that made out of?
It's tomatoes.
Okay.
It's some meat. It's usual soup, but in Ukraine, people know how to do it well.
Yeah,
and it's so tasty.
That sounds like chili a little bit, but I mean, I'm guessing you have your own spices and that kind of
maybe
stuff,
yeah,
that kind of differentiates
probably, yes,
it. But there you go. So future coming up. I mean, obviously we talked about the tournaments and that kind of stuff. So kind of. What are your goals going forward? Because this is a world's year. I mean, you want to be on the Ukrainian team along with Danilo, and maybe Misha will probably come along to compete in the worlds. You know, for his first elite worlds over at Jack Travers's place. You know, so what are your goals going forward? I know, I've seen you learning tricks and stuff like that. I know you're getting consistent with slalom and you know, trying to maintain your jump, but. By the time we get to September and October, what would you like to have achieved?
Before October, before Open World Championship, I'll have Open European Championship and maybe some other championships like San Gervasio.
Oh, yeah.
Linz Open, it's in Austria.
Oh, you mean the overall tournaments on the World Water Skiers, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the tournament I'm going to visit and just practice to do my best on open worlds.
Okay. So open worlds being at Jack Travers, it's a site that you're quite familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's got to give you a little bit of confidence mm-hmm. going forward, yeah?
Yeah, true. Like, I've been there a lot of times. 14, maybe 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I really know this lake, and it's really good conditions there.
Okay. So obviously you draw a lot of inspiration from Daniela Filchenko. He competed in the junior worlds in like 2010. I was actually there to see him compete, and I knew pretty much right there and then if he kept going, that he'll be among one of the top skiers in the world. But mm-hmm. I mean, do you draw a lot of inspiration from what he's done in the past and what he continues to do now for Ukraine?
Yes, of course. I'm so inspired of him. He helped me a lot. He continue helping me a lot nowadays. Not only with water skiing, but just in life. So also Alex Samoilov. Fortunately, he quit water skiing, but he also helped me so much in the past. So, yes.
Okie dokie. So, I normally keep these interviews fairly short, you know, around about 25, 30 minutes, you know, just to keep the attention span of my audience attentive all the way throughout, you know. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to give some acknowledgement of thanks to those that you believe deserve it. So before we round off for this podcast, I'll leave the mic open to you.
Okay. The biggest... I'm sorry, let me think.
I know there's so many people.
The biggest thing what every Ukrainian think now, it's war in our country that still continues. And I want to say big thanks to everyone who supported us. I know that's a lot of people from water ski community. So big, big thanks to everyone. But the war still continues. And just if you can, we need more of your support. I know we will win in some days, but still it's a lot of times before that. So thanks to everyone, and I hope we will get your support even more.
Okay, obviously the folks at Sentosa as well, Alexei from Sentosa,
yes.
Obviously that continues to help the team and provide a financial material support going forwards. Yeah. So I've met him a couple of times and he's a very determined and very, very good.
Yes. Person. It's a person who gave everyone in our team in Ukraine opportunity to ski. Without him, it won't be able, because he's a person who made this life for us.
Okie dokie. All right then, and with that, I'm going to round off this episode of the TWBC podcast. And until the next episode, I am going to say ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.